Studs Terkel listens to Americans and shares with us what they have to say. He has a nationally syndicated radio interview program, and he's written oral history books about his hometown, Chicago, the Great Depression, World War II, and people's attitudes about their work. He has a new book called Race, How Blacks and Whites Think and Feel About the American Obsession. Book critic John Leonard has a review.
Studs Terkel is 80 years old this month. So what does he do but publish another book? You have to imagine him in action, on the street, on foot because he doesn't drive, in an old raincoat and battered hat, with a hearing aid and a tape recorder, in pubs or schools or barbershops, or bluffing his way into a housing project on Chicago's Black South Side, sitting down in somebody's kitchen, talking about race. Our premier oral historian is also one of the last of the integrationists, a throwback to Martin Luther King, and before Dr. King, to the left wing of the CIO, and before that, to old-fashioned labor movement socialism and the French Revolution. He's kept the faith by continuing to test it. He'll talk to anybody, and he listens twice, first right there in the kitchen, and then again when he edits the tapes for his books, where intelligence is made somehow musical, where conversations become cantatas. I'm tempted then to call him an oratorio historian. This is what Walt Whitman must have meant when he said he heard America singing. These songs are not all cheerful. Everybody in race, white, black, brown, and yellow, seems to agree that relations among the races are worse today than they've ever been, worse than they were in the 1960s riots. Most blame the go-go greedhead Reagan years and the drug epidemic. Louis Farrakhan gets mentioned more often than I'd have thought imaginable or desirable. As if in counterpoint to Farrakhan, there is also a lot of country blues singer Big Bill Brunsey. But nobody Terkel talks to has given up. Certainly not Emmett Till's mother, Mamie Mobley, who became a teacher after her son was murdered. They have all got jobs to find, and children to raise, and neighborhoods to save, and a nation to recover from its waste of scruple, its conscience gone up in smoke like Puff the Magic Dragon. They are all smarter than anybody I see on television. Where does he find these people? Mostly, but not always, in Chicago. Some, but not most, he's talked to before. Male or female, without exception, it's their working lives that gives them their perspective. They are paramedics, firefighters and flight attendants, carpenters and computer software salesmen, steelworkers, musicians, hairdressers, medical students, hospital aides and chauffeurs, union reps, evangelists, black separatists and Ku Klux Klanners, ex-communists, ex-priests, retired domestics, and many, many teachers, most of them despairing. With each new Terkel book, I make a big deal about this amazing democracy of occupations. Why? Because the brain, too, is a muscle. And it's nice. More than nice, it's thrilling. To see it exercised by people who've never shown up on Face the Nation or Ted Koppel, where all we hear from are the male and the pale, with their credentialed technoblab of underclass and trickle-down, the mellow-speak salesmen in their beltway blister packs, pushing a capital gains tax cut as the miracle cure for moral fatigue, social paralysis, and economic catastrophe. Disappointed, hesitant, or driven as they may be, there's no doubt at all that America would be a better place if everybody listened to these working people, not just radical humanist Studs Terkel, that passionate old man with the brave songs and the magic hearing aid.
John Leonard is media critic for CBS Sunday Morning. He reviewed Studs Terkel's new book, Race.